Blog Talk Radio. This is Love's Outer Limits, and I'm your host, Dr. Amy Marsh, sexologist, hypnotist, lots of other kinds of things, and I'm with my co-host, M. Christian, otherwise known as Chris, erotica writer, sexuality writer, sexual futurist, and also lots of all kinds of other things. We've got a great show lined up for you today, so welcome. Hey, good morning, Chris. How are you doing?
Good morning. Good, good. How are you?
I'm okay. Feeling better than I did yesterday. I was really wiped out for some reason. Yeah, thank you. How are you holding up in this time of weirdness?
Pretty good, pretty good. I mean, you know, it's kind of like, as we've talked about before, it's like, you know, it's being a freelance writer. It hasn't been really as traumatic as it probably has for other people because I'm already kind of like working from home and kind of a hermit anyway. But yeah, it's been stressful, but staying busy and having a wonderful time doing things like this wonderful podcast.
Yeah, this is a big morale booster for me too. And it's a lot of fun. And, you know, listeners, we've got a really fun show lined up because we're going to get a little personal here, and we're going to talk about what is inside our toy boxes, and this is going to be a blast. But before we do that, Chris, you want to do the usual shout out, and then I'll do mine?
Certainly, certainly. Top of the list is one of my all-time favorite places to write for, futureofsex.net. I've been writing for them for like 5 years, and after that would be Kinkly, which is a wonderful resource for all kinds of things, sex and kink, and they're wonderful, and I've written for them for quite a number of years. Also, definitely give a big shout-out to Tickle.life. The wonderful folks there have been really supportive. Both Dr. Amy and myself have articles up there as well. They're also just a wonderful resource. And just, you know, kind of the usual suspects too, things like Hot Movies and, you know, other great places, Queer Majority. That's kind of like my list, at least for right now, and I apologize if I've forgotten somebody.
Oh, that's okay. You know, we can't think of everything, but I do want to point out that Tickle.life is hosting us. We've got a page. Our podcast has a page on Tickle.life, mm-hmm. along with a lot of other excellent podcasts. So that's very, very cool and deeply appreciated. And there's just a growing number of articles and resources related to this whole COVID-19 thing that you can find when you go to Tickle.life. A lot of ideas, a lot of support, a lot of resources. So please do check them out. And then the other shout out I'm going to do today, this is a product shout out, and I'm just closing. I'm an affiliate for this product called the High Massager, which is put out by womenandcouples.com. And you'll get to hear it, and I'll talk about it a little bit later on. But I wanted to be transparent and let you know that as an affiliate, if you buy this thing through the link that I've put in the show notes, you'll get a discount, and I will get a very modest sum. And in this day and age, a little modest sum every now and then is a helpful kind of thing. So anyway, that's it for my commercial. let's see. How do you want to do this? Do you want to play Name That Tune, only, you know, name that toy? Should we make sounds? You know, should we turn these things on and let them buzz and see if people can figure out not just what kind of toy it is, but what brand? You know, I mean, that could be really interesting. And so, I don't know. There's a million ways to launch into this. Where do you want to start? What do you want to pull out of your toy box?
Well, it's like, it's funny. It's like, you know, for the longest time, my only toy was like kind of like basic BDSM things. Like, you know, my favorite one probably is a cock ring. That's probably one of my all-time favorites because those, you know, I've had early exposure to those and I've always enjoyed them. I only have one right now because I've had many that kind of drop by the wayside, but that's not a toy that makes a particular noise.
I want to know, how do you drop them by the wayside?
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. It's just one of those things. It's just like they're small and they have a tendency to like disappear sometimes. But yeah, I think I've come down to like one or two now.
Okay. All right. Yeah, maybe people that you've been near and dear with are keeping them as souvenirs. You never know. Yeah. Well, why don't you talk a little bit about why you like to use it? I mean, I think that's something that we should talk about, not just the toys we have, but, you know, what are their upsides, downsides? What do we like about them?
Well, the thing about cock rings, and I hope that's not going to get us in trouble using that word on the channel, but the thing is, like, if you happen to have that certain part of anatomy, it can actually be, you know, quite useful that it, you know, one, it decreases sensitivity slightly. It also helps maintain and prolong an erection. It's also really simple. You know, it's not like a very complicated piece of equipment. There are kinds of various kinds, running from Velcro to leather with a snap to steel, just to sort of get a little bit of sex out. I don't recommend the steel ring ones unless you have experience, because if something should happen to get uncomfortable, they can be very tricky to remove. And they also have like more extravagant versions that, you know, wrap around testicles, that are used for chastity play. So it's kind of like, you know, a universal. They're also not very expensive. You know, when you get down to it, there's only usually, you know, a couple of bucks. And because of that, you can buy a variety until you find one that you actually find the most comfortable and effective.
You know, that's a really good point, because so often when you go into a store, or you're on a catalog and you're trying to figure out what you might like, you don't really get a chance to try it out ahead of time. So, you know, you could be out some big money if you buy something that just doesn't do it for you. And it's not the kind of thing usually that you can pass your sex toy on to a friend and say, well, I didn't like it, but maybe you will. That's usually not done because, you know, hygiene is an issue, right? Anything else you want to say about a cock ring before we move on?
I think that's big. I mean, we could do a whole show on them, but, you know, the big thing about cock rings, they're also pretty safe. There's really not a lot of risk. You don't want to leave them on for too long. And again, it's like, you know, there's plenty of resources online. You can figure out how to use them and so forth. And like anything like that, you know, as opposed to things like, you know, vibrators and such, you know, you do, there's a little bit of a health concern that you want to make sure that it doesn't stay on, like I said, for too long, that it doesn't pinch or, you know, cause like irritation or something like that. But yeah, it's like, it's actually a fairly safe toy as far as that goes.
Yeah. And I don't think you would want to use it, say, if you've got some kind of skin irritation around the base of your penis and the scrotum. You know, you would probably say, you know, let's wait till I heal. And then maybe I'll use something like that, because you obviously don't want to irritate anything that might already, you know, need to be healing. So, you know, that would be a consideration. I think it's great when we work some sex education into this, because, you know, I think the whole point of an episode like this is not just to show off the cool stuff we've got and, you know, maybe, you know, blush a little bit as we're speaking our truth out to the radio audience, but also to talk about using them, the upsides, the downsides, you know, what have we noticed over the years? I think that's like perfectly wonderful content for this show.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, all right, I'm going to do my first sound effect. Could you hear that? I'm not sure how it comes out over the...
A little bit.
Yeah, okay, so I basically whacked the palm of my hand pretty good with a perforated leather panel, you know, which is basically a spanking tool. This item, I'm sorry to say, is basically brand new because I haven't had a partner since I bought it. So maybe I've scared people away. I don't know. But, you know, it's there. It's hanging up in my closet. It's like, okay, I guess I'm cool. I've got a black leather panel that's perforated. So the perforations are nice because, you know, the air moves through the perforation. So you can get kind of a whack. And I'm going to say my palm is red now and it's stinging a little bit. So when you use something like this, you want to do a little warm up. You don't want to go real hard, real fast, like I just did with my left hand. You want to warm somebody up. You want to do some soothing, you know, rubbing and paddling. You want to check in with your partner. I didn't ask my left hand for consent before I whacked it. So, you know, that's bad. But, you know, pretty safe. Something you'd want to keep clean, of course, between uses. Add anything to the idea of leather implements and their use, paddling, spanking, anything like that?
Well, it's funny. It's like I used to have, you know, but I think, you know, listeners of the show will probably already be familiar with a little bit of my history, but back in the late 80s, early 90s, I was in San Francisco and part of the whole BDSM world around there. So my wife at the time and I collected a huge assortment of toys, you know, whips, single tails, bondage gear, canes, floggers, you name it, we had it. And when the relationship ended, I kind of left those with her, and I've been slowly building up my, you know, my collection again. So, you know, the thing about, you know, some of the BDSM gear is, like, some of it can be very affordable, you know, like things like paddles and even some canes, but other ones can be quite pricey, especially things like floggers, which you don't want to necessarily use the cheapest one you can find. And so I haven't really built mine up very much, but I have been doing a lot more, you know, sort of accumulating electric sex toys or electronic sex toys, mainly because I do reviews for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm hoping that we'll have a whole episode about teledildonics and some of these other things in a few weeks, because I think it's really pertinent to this whole, you know, era that we're in right now for the next few months. And I noticed that there was a Rolling Stone article recently, I guess it was the end of March, that talked to internet-connected sex toy sales are booming. So these are, mm-hmm. You know, we can talk about teledildonics in a little while, anyway, people are definitely buying them. Those who have the money, not everybody does, but we'll get into that in probably a little bit later on in the show. Just wanted to bring that up. Okay, well, I did my paddle. What's next for you?
Let me see. It's like, unfortunately, I don't have anyone I can smack my hand with. Let me see if I can pull out something here.
It could be this anything. It doesn't have to be an implement of destruction or anything. Okay, we have the sounds. I can hear that. He's rustling around in his toy box. And he's, no, do it again.
I don't think that was loud enough, because actually it's funny.
No.
This is a little G-spot vibrator. And I probably should have picked another one, because this one is from a company called I'm not sure how to pronounce it. So Vacuum, S-V-A-K-O-M. I just did a review of these guys. And this is a little G-spot vibrator they sent me. And It's actually one of the selling points is it's quiet.
You know, quiet is good. You know, quiet is good. If you're living with people right now, you're sheltering in place, and you're not necessarily with a sexual partner or partners, or there's other people in the house, yeah, quiet little things are good. So what did you say about this particular?
It's actually
device.
Really quite a nice little toy. I mean, it's very well made. I mean, that's one thing about a lot of these new sex toys is, you know, I still remember when, you know, vibrators and such were in their fairly early ages. I mean, the original origin of it goes back, you know, way back to early 19th century, early 20th century. And nowadays, the quality is really quite phenomenal, and you can get one that's really well made and really functional for as little as like $29-$30. These are not necessarily internet connected ones, but they're still very high quality. This one is very nice because it's, once it's quiet, it's, you know, affordable, it's very flexible. So the end of it, which unfortunately this is a audio podcast, you can't see it, is very flexible. So it's like you can bend it pretty easily and get to all kinds of those really good places without breaking it.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. So say the manufacturer again, and where did you write this review?
My review is on Amazon. I haven't posted it yet to social media. I'll probably do that maybe today or tomorrow. It's S-V-A-K-O-M, Svakom. And it's called the Coco Flexible Head Vibrator or Flexible Head G-Spot Vibrator.
Nice. Okay. All right. So I've just pulled out this tiny little thing. Let's see if we can make it make a noise. Probably can't hear that. It's almost silent. In fact, I think it is very silent. This is a little thing I bought a few years ago. I happened to take a client on a field trip to Good Vibrations in Berkeley. And this was a person who was very timid in their sexuality. And I think this was, you know, 9 or 10 months into working with this particular client. And this person, you know, wanted to see what it was like to go shopping for a sex toy. So I arranged to meet the person there. And I'm not giving any details about this person, not even gender, but we looked around for some things and they liked this very tiny, it's almost like a, almost like a rounded triangle, two-tone, dark pink and light pink in this case, but I believe they came in other colors if I'm remembering correctly. Definitely waterproof, you know, very, very well sealed. And it's basically just an outside clit vibrator more than anything else. Super quiet. I believe the client chose it because it was not very intimidating. And I looked at it and I thought, hey, I'm going to get one of these too. And it's actually been a nice thing to use in conjunction, for example, with either a penetrative vibrator, vaginally penetrative vibrator or dildo. So you kind of, you know, you can get your stuff happening in a couple of different places and not be, you know, a lot of vibrators have things that will stimulate the clitoris as well, but then you're kind of at the mercy of the rhythm of the penetrative part being the same rhythm as the stimulation for the outer clitoris. And this way, you know, this is like a handy dandy little thing that you can use to do a different rhythm. So, you know, very cool. I don't remember who the manufacturer is. You know, it's been a long time since I got it and I threw away the bucks, but I'm putting it up to the microphone again. And it's just a very sub-audible hum. And so it's a cool little device. I'll try to figure out what it is and maybe post a link to it later. Okay, so that's my second thing.
I think they're called bullet vibrators, but I'm not too sure. Sometimes the terminology around these things can be very kind of, you know, kind of flexible. And I do particularly like you pointed out, that it's like when you use those kind of toys that are integrated, that are penetrative and clitoral, it's like you're just kind of like, if you like one kind of rhythm versus the other, you're kind of stuck, but using two separate ones is a great idea. But yeah, so that's the whole thing about this. And one thing I want to quickly mention is, like, you know, it used to be that, you know, kind of like sex toys had such a limited range of, you know, function and shape that, you know, some of them were interchangeable. So, you know, these days it's really important that if you're going to do things like, you know, penetrative play, like for instance, vaginal versus anal, don't use one that is designed for, you know, don't use one that's designed for vaginal penetration when you're doing anal play. Because there's all kinds of things that, you know, are specialized about anal toys, especially these days. So, like, for instance, there's a company called B-Vibe, and they're highly recommended. And I have one right here called the Twist. And it's from a line of toys designed by the sexologist Zoe Lingen. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. And this is designed from the ground up to be an effective anal sex toy. Now, mine's the medium size. They actually have some that are smaller and larger and so forth, and some with and without certain kind of textures. And I'm not so sure if this one's actually powered up, so unfortunately you can't hear it, but it does vibrate.
Okay.
Yeah,
and,
unfortunately it lost its charge. I had charged it up when I did the review.
Right. Well, you know, it's we don't have to have everything make noise, obviously, but it is kind of a fun thing. Yeah, what I was talking about earlier wasn't one of those little metal bullet vibrators. It was, as I said, sort of fits in the palm of your hand for some reason, and you know, has a definite shape. But I'm going to try to figure out what that was. So. You know, actually, something that I want to bring up, because you mentioned anal play and anal toys, is COVID-19 is showing up in feces and in wastewater treatment plants. So I think this has an implication for extra cleanliness, extra hygiene. I am so sorry for those who enjoy anal play. I think you're going to have to be even more careful than you already are. And that is definitely going to be something that people are going to have to adjust to here, because you don't know if somebody's a asymptomatic carrier or has been exposed and hasn't gotten sick yet. So, you know, a word to the wise, please be careful, please be safe, clean your toys really, really well, use a condom on them, you know, like, and do that. Yeah, let's see. So you just did that. Anything else you want to say about this particular device?
Well, what's cool about it is, you know, they come like this line, the one designed by Zoe. They actually come in different sizes. They also come in different shapes. They're not considered what I would consider smart toys. That's not a slam against them, because smart toys, usually referring to ones that are wirelessly compatible with, like, you know, a company's app, so they can be controlled either like with really fine detail using a smartphone app, or they can be controlled remotely, sometimes, you know, even like across the world. So it can't do that, but they're still really very well made. And I particularly like the fact that B-Vibe really kind of focuses on anal play as far as their toy line. So it's not like it's an afterthought or something that's just kind of a sideline. It's really stuff they focus on. So that one is really highly recommended. It's also quite colorful. It's kind of turquoise colors.
Yeah, isn't that nice? You know, we get all kinds of different colors now instead of, you know, the weird beige flesh tone and other type of, you know, skin colorations, and maybe purple or pink. You know, I'm so happy when things show up in other colors. I really am. But that's, you know, that's just me. Let's see. Well, what else can I get? You mentioned the little bullet vibrators, and those can be the little tiny bullets. They're just little silver things a lot of the time. Those can be often used inside a dildo or an anal plug. So, you know, there will be a hole in the anal plug or the dildo, and then it can be turned into a vibrating toy by putting the little bullet in it. So that's one of the cool things that you can do with those, you know, plus just kind of use them discreetly. let's see, digging around. There was a point where I did just a few reviews for Good Vibrations as an affiliate, and this is probably 10 years ago now. So it was neat because they actually sent me the toys for free, and then I wrote the review, and that was cool. You know, so there was a very curved, ridged vibrator, safe in the shower, not, you know, battery operated, of course, nothing like, well, there's a little changing speed thing on it. I take that back. The thing doesn't have batteries in it right now, but, you know, the ridges are supposed to give you more sensation. But, you know, it's the inner walls of the vagina that it's the part that really has a sensation, you know, that you want to, if you want texture. But this particular vibrator has the sort of the ridge texture going all the way up to the, you know, faux tip of the, you know, the penis semblance here on this device. But, you know, it was all right. I believe I wrote a good review for it. It was and actually something designed and manufactured for Good Vibes. So, you know, they probably had some people who know, you know, helping to put together the features on this thing. Okay, your turn.
Well, I wanted to point out something that, like, that you mentioned, you know, quite well. It's like, you know, it's like the we have so many different materials now. They're no longer that stiff beige, awful plastic that would always discolor.
Right.
The quality has gone up so much. I mean, you know, most of the ones I'm looking at are silicone, so that they're, you know, they're non-reactive. They are, like, you know, have a really good texture. They're flexible. They're soft. They won't cause any tearing. So they're really, like, the amount of work that goes into some of these devices is really quite phenomenal. And it's not usually like something kind of like a novelty, which is how vibrators used to be sold. Now they're like state of the art. One particularly I just got recently from a company called Hot Octopus, and this is their Pulse Solo Lux, and I did a review of this one. And this is a really kind of unique toy. It's not networkable, but it's still very interesting. It's hard to describe. It actually looks like a little, almost like a conch shell. Do you know what a conch shell looks like?
Yes,
and
I do.
It's designed to actually slide over, you know, a penis, as opposed to, like, a sleeve-type vibrator, which is the penis is inserted into the device. This is actually designed to slide over it, so it doesn't quite envelop the shaft. Instead, it kind of, like, uses these kind of soft silicone, you know, little, like, for lack of a better word, grippers. Though I understand using gripper in context with penis may not be all that alluring.
This
is actually very
might.
Comfortable. And
okay.
And what's interesting about it is you can move it, you know, around and along the shaft. You can put it at the head, put it at the base. And it has a whole variety of vibrational patterns. And what's even cooler, it comes with basically a little remote control. It looks like a little four-button control that allows it to change, like, the oscillations, the intensity. And it comes, the control can be fitted to a provided little, you know, kind of rubber watch. So you can wear this on your wrist, you can hold it in your hand, or somebody else can hold it in their hand while using it.
That is so Dick Tracy. I don't know, I just love the idea of the watch, right? Oh, hey, Chris, your voice has dropped way down. Chris, your voice. You need to reset something. We can't hear you. Sounds like you might
Hello?
Be back. Yeah, hi. Couldn't hear you there for a little bit. What happened?
Weird. Hang on a second.
Okay.
I'm not too sure. I think my Bluetooth got kicked off again, which has happened too many times now.
Yeah. I know it happened on a previous show. But I do want to hear what you said. So
there it goes. Yeah, that's very strange. I'm definitely
going
to look into this one. I might have to buy myself another headset. But I don't know how much you missed. I was talking about the Hot Octopus toy here, which is called the Solo Lux. And it slides along the shaft of the penis as
now,
opposed
we did,
to being
we did
like
get
something
that.
You can insert. Okay.
Right. We did get that part. It was kind of probably the final couple of paragraphs or sentences where you dropped out.
Yeah, sorry about that. But yeah, it actually comes with a little remote that can be worn on your wrist or, you know, used separately. And the remote allows you to control it wirelessly, which is
so
really
somebody
quite cool
else...
because that way you don't have to, like, sorry?
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So you don't have to, like, you know, fumble around you trying to use the controls that are built into the toy itself. It's really quite novel and really quite effective.
That's very cool. And somebody else could conceivably wear the watch and control it that way too?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It doesn't work as regards to, like, and this is not a slam. It's not saying it's a bad toy. It's far from it. It's actually an excellent toy. It doesn't work over long distances, so it doesn't, like, link up to, like, a proprietary app. But it does allow someone in the same room to control the action using, you know, the little control units. So it really has a lot of potential for things like, you know, role play, power exchange, BDSM play, and all kinds of things like that. It's really quite a well-engineered and fun toy.
Nice. Yeah, that sounds like it's got all kinds of possibilities. Cool. You know, this is turning out to be a fun show. I'm going to drag out just a couple other implements to talk about briefly. Again, you can't see them, but another thing I have, kind of a, can't really even hear it, kind of a long strap slappy thing, again, out of leather, but with a handle like a flogger. So that's an impact play toy. And then a nice little medium-sized flogger that I bought it, I think it was the Citadel's, you know, kind of flea market. Anyway, it was at the Citadel in San Francisco, and they had a bunch of vendors in there. And I forget who made this, but it was nicely handcrafted with an iridescent blue on the flogging parts. And again, you know, the sort of basic woven handle with a braided strap for hanging. I'm not going to try to make noise with it, though, because I scare the cats, and I don't want to scare the cats. Okay. All right. So do you have something else you want to pull out of your toy box?
Certainly, certainly. I'm going to jump ahead because I have two of these. I'm not sure why I pulled two similar ones up, but, you know, I'm going to talk about both of them because they're both the same but different. This one is from a company called, it's funny, I've written about them many, many times, but I've never known how to pronounce the name. It's Kiru, K-I-I-R-O, and they're a very, well-known sex toy developer and manufacturer. And it's really quite an excellent toy. This is the Onyx Interactive Male Masturbator. I love that name. And it's what's called a sleeve-type vibrator. And these actually are fairly recent developments. Because previously, you know, it's like when you're, like, into the penis equipped, if you're using, like, a masturbation tool, usually it's something inert, like a sleeve or something. Some of these are actually powered. And they use sometimes very unique, you know, methods of delivering sensation. And I have to say that I didn't have a lot of experience until doing these views, and the sensation is really quite interesting and very arousing. It takes a little used to if you're not used to them, but the end result is cool. And particularly this one and the one I'll talk about afterwards are also integratable, so they can communicate with interactive videos online, so whatever happens on the screen is also mirrored by the toy, or they can be networked to other sex toys. So if someone is using one, the sensations is transmitted from one to the other. And, you know, it's not 100% perfect, but it's definitely interesting and fun to do. So it's really kind of internet that way. They also use their own app. So you can do things like create customized vibration patterns. You can, like, fine-tune it. You can record. So in other words, like, if you like a certain pattern, you can play it back whenever you want. And some of them even have the option of, like, sharing it. So if you wanted to create a customized pattern of vibrations and then send it to somebody, you know, so that's an option. So they're really quite fascinating, and they're really quite effective.
That is so cool. And it sounds, again, for those who have the money, and not everybody does, but it sounds like a really fabulous, you know, social isolation lockdown device to have. But tell me, how does it actually manage to hook up with videos? Do these have to be special videos, or could it be something accessed through any, you know, website? How does that work?
Well, without consulting the review, I do believe that this one uses, if you go to, like, a porn site, you know, adult entertainment site like Pornhub, if you look at interactive, and they usually have a subset of that. And they will often have, like, a link or, in some cases, a Q code. So you use the app that you can download for free. And after linking the toy to the app using Bluetooth, sometimes Wi-Fi, but most often Bluetooth, you can then use your phone to, like, take a picture of this Q code, which, if you've probably seen them but don't know what they are, they look like little blocks. And what it does is a Q code, when photographed by a smartphone, activates a function or a website. So in this case, you take a picture of the Q code on your computer screen. It automatically then links the toy to whatever's happening on the screen. Other places use, you know, third-party apps. Sometimes it requires a little bit of fiddling, but usually not very much. So it's actually pretty much a seamless thing. And, of course, if you really want to go whole hog, you can do that with a video that's designed for, let's say, virtual reality.
Wow. Wow. Just wow, huh? Have you ever done that? I mean, you don't have to answer if you don't want to, but have you ever been hooked up to a virtual reality setting? That's so neat.
I've definitely done that.
Wow.
You know, virtual reality, just to, because it is kind of a division of sex tech. Virtual reality is kind of tricky because it's like break the bank or absolutely cheap. So if you break the bank, you're talking things like the HTC Vive, Oculus Rift, and now they have a new one called Quest, which is much more affordable, and even the PlayStation has a virtual reality rig. A high-end one can run several $1,000s and sometimes require a high-end computer in addition to the virtual reality gear itself. Other ones, like the Quest, I can't remember the manufacturer, but it's called the Quest. It's actually, you know, created in partnership with Facebook, is only like about $400. So it's actually affordable. And the same thing with the PlayStation headset, which is like $400. The other option is using your smartphone. So for about, probably nowadays, you can get as cheap as $5, a little plastic shell, and you just basically fire up the virtual reality video, and it can be anywhere from YouTube to Pornhub, slide your phone into the gizmo, and put the gizmo on your head. Now, it won't be able to, like, be fully interactive. It's like one of the high-quality ones, but for something like fooling around with interconnected sex toys, it definitely does the job. And so you turn your head around, you can see, like, in 360. Sometimes it'll have, like, it'll come with a little Bluetooth gizmo that you can actually, like, use it to click or navigate. Some of them use, like, a way of controlling the action by, like, looking at a certain point on the video, and that activates, like, fast forward or change the scene. And then, of course, it's when it's connected to the sex toy, you can see as well as feel.
Wow, that's interesting. And you just said something a minute ago that blew my mind. You mentioned Facebook. Facebook is in the interactive sex toy virtual reality business?
Well, not per se. I have to correct myself, but that was the impression. It's actually, you know, the gizmo, if I remember correctly, I'm taking a few seconds here to look it up. It's actually called the Oculus Quest, and Facebook has helped it worked with them to sort of like create this thing. And I may be mistaken in that. If I have, someone will probably yell at me, and I perfectly apologize. But it's a much more affordable standalone unit. It is not designed for sex toy work, but you can use it with certain. If you could access a website using a virtual reality gear, then you can interact with it using an interactive sex toy. It's not necessarily designed for that, but again, if you have access to a website using virtual reality, you can definitely do it for sex stuff.
Wow. Wow. Okay. I just, you know, my mind immediately goes to, okay, what kind of data is being harvested by Facebook when you use it for this? But, you know, maybe we're getting things a little wrong here. Maybe we're jumping ahead, but, you know, that's where my mind went. Kind of the opposite of sex.
If you're worried, you can always use a VPN, a virtual private network, which you can sign up for sometimes for like a couple of bucks a month. And VPNs, depending on the quality of them, and I'm not an expert, so I can't really comment, but if you're interested in maintaining your privacy, a VPN is definitely the way to go. And the VPNs basically kind of wall off access to the information you're using, so you could surf, you know, and look at anything without being tracked. So if you're concerned about that, VPN is the way to go.
You know, that would be a great whole topic for a whole other show is, you know, personal sexual security of our information. So you were going to talk about the other toy as well, the other sleeve-type toy?
Yeah, and actually, it's worth mentioning. I'm sorry for interrupting. It's actually worth mentioning that there was a minor scandal, and I'm not going to mention the company, where the data was accidentally, you know, collected and the network wasn't secure. However, a lot of sex toy companies now have really beefed up their security and really have sort of like stepped up their game in regards to, you know, protecting privacy of their users. So, you know, that is something to keep in mind. And do keep in mind, too, that, you know, when you do use this kind of interactivity, you do are taking a risk, maybe not a large risk, but there is definitely a potential because you're using, like, you know, Wi-Fi and Bluetooth and, you know, all these different things that sometimes aren't 100% secure. The next one is actually a very similar toy, and this is created by a different company called LoveSense, L-O-V-E-N-S-E. I am Love and Sense. Love and Sense. I'm never gonna, it's so funny. I write about these people all the time. I never know how to pronounce the company name. This one particularly is really, really, really well done as far as interactivity. It's also a sleeve type vibrator. So in other words, it looks like, boy, how to describe it? It's basically a cylinder. In this case, it's white. In the case of the Onyx, it's black. And at one end is an opening containing a silicone sleeve that you would insert your penis into. And this one really has a very unique function that uses like sonic waves to sort of give the sensation. But it also really, really connects very well to other products by the same manufacturer. In this case, I was lucky enough to get this and the penetrative version. And it was really quite fun to use. Moving one would send the sensation to the other. And
wow,
it's really cool. They use a proprietary app again. So you first have to connect the toys via Bluetooth to the app, and then from there you can do anything you want, including sharing like a special link code. So if your partner is halfway around the world, you can still use it.
See, this is amazing. This is wonderful, and it's so very timely. What's the price range on that? I mean, what are people going to have to pay?
I usually
just do a ballpark.
When they're smart toys, when some of these, you know, the thing is usually not that expensive for the other certain ones. Like, for instance, the ones that aren't smart, you know, in other words, aren't interconnectable, you know, those are actually usually running in the $20 and $30 range, sometimes a little bit more. You know, in the case of, like, you know, the ones for here, this is Lovance. I wish I pronounced it correctly. I really hope it's not pissed off at me because I really like these companies and they're so generous. This one, let's see if I can find it, usually runs for like $100, $200 depending.
Okay.
I can actually get the correct quote right now. Yeah, the Max 2 is what I was referring to. That's $100. If you buy it with the Nora, which is the one for penetration play, it's for both of them for $190. And if you use the other toy, which is called the Edge, which looking at it looks to be like an anal toy or perhaps another vaginal toy, is $178. So they're actually not that expensive. And considering the amount of technology that goes into it, it's really quite reasonable.
Interesting. Yeah. Very cool.
And I'll look at the Onyx right now.
Okay. While you're looking up the Onyx, I'm going to talk about, I've got basically three more toys to talk about, but I'm going to go to an absolutely, completely low-tech toy that's in my box. And it's a beautifully done art glass dildo. And it's got, so glass has the advantage of being completely inert. There's nothing there. There's nothing that contains endocrine disrupting chemicals as some of the cheaper toys or, you know, toys in the past have had. Phthalates is the name of the chemicals that you can find in some plastics. So this thing, it's got a curved handle. It's very short, the penetrative part. It's almost really just kind of a G-spot type stimulator, really for the front part of the vagina. It was a splurge. I bought this to kind of congratulate myself as becoming a sexologist, frankly. And I was interested at that point. I was not interested in things that worked mechanically. I didn't like the vibration noises of at that point, you know, so I didn't want a vibrator, and I wanted something that I knew was 100% non-reactive. And so it's cool, you know, and every now and then, though I've since graduated to things that vibrate, you know, it's a nice option. So stainless steel or glass can be really good materials if you're chemically sensitive. So that's one thing. Now I'm going to do sound effects here. All right. Now this is high tech. Takes a while to fire it up. I'm increasing. Oh my gosh, this is like industrial strength. All right, can you hear that? It's pretty darn loud. I'm going to describe what it is in just a minute.
Oops.
So I turned it off. This is the high massager. So HI, a fellow student, actually was a student after I went through the Institute for Advanced Study of Human Sexuality, but he originally wanted to design something that would help the scarring adhesions for some abdominal surgery that his wife had had. And then in using it, the prototypes that he had designed, and these were like, you know, metal clunky toaster-like things. I mean, you couldn't really toast a slice of bread, but, you know, they were not what you would consider an attractive device for sexual stimulation. But he realized that she and then other women who tested the prototypes out were able to orgasm from the vibration. And this is without any internal or even clitoral stimulation at this point, for the most part. They were able to orgasm. So this guy began to pursue the development of this thing, and it's heavy. I'll, you know, if you go to the link that's on the show notes, this thing is big, it's heavy, it's meant to be used externally. And when he got the final prototype designed and manufactured, it has a bulb that kind of curves down with separate controls for clitoral stimulation or stimulation just around the, you know, the vulva, the exterior of the vagina. And then it's got these two pulsating heads, and the device comes with two other kind of heads of different texture that you can swap out, and that's for the pulsations on the abdomen. Now, I originally got interested in this because there was a point where he was saying that women who had undergone genital mutilation and the removal of the clitoris could possibly be using this to experience orgasms. I haven't, that was a few years ago, and I haven't seen them referencing that since, but that was originally why I wanted to take a look at it. And, you know, he was trying to get a lot of the sexologists who had graduated from the Institute to, you know, check this thing out. Now, but there's a lot of cautions now. You know, you're not supposed to use it if you've got cardiac pacemaker. Obviously, if you've got any bruising or swelling on your skin, cuts, scrapes, surgery, including pelvic meshes, hormonal implants, you know, anybody who's recently given birth, has diabetes, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, there's a long, long list of things that you should not use this thing for. But it's, you can use this over your outer clothing, basically, and you can use it to massage other parts of the body. So, you know, I'm not 100% sold on it. I wrote a review of it early on back in 2019. I've used it a few times since and, you know, gotten to see, okay, you know, there's some interesting things about it. Probably the fact that if you're using it alone, you can just lie back passively and sort of rest the thing on your belly. I mean, you still have to hold it, but you don't have to support the whole weight. And yeah, you can get off. It's expensive. It's heavy. It's expensive. It does have, you know, separate controls with several different settings for both, you know, both the abdominal vibrating heads and then the clitoral stimulation. I've sold a couple. I think it's useful for some people. There's a lot of instructional videos on the womenandcouples.com website. And there's $110 off retail price, which makes it about $238, $39, actually, if you buy it through the link on the show notes. Again, I'm an affiliate, so I'll get a teeny amount of money if you do that. But I think it would be very difficult for people who have any kind of weakness in their arms and hands to use unless there's a partner, you know, using it. So, you know, you can rest it on your shoulder. You can use it to get some shoulder tension out, you know, tension around your neck. You know, you can tell I've got mixed feelings about this thing, but, you know, it is what it is. It might be really good for some people. And if you look at the videos, they're wildly enthusiastic. The guy who developed it has gotten tons of press. So, and then the last one I'm going to pull out of my toy box is the just basic Lust Vibrator by Jopin. You know, it's all sealed. You can use it in the shower. It's rechargeable. You can recharge it in an outlet or even plugging it into your computer with a USB if you absolutely have to. It's not an interactive device at all. And it's got sort of the strange little bulbous clitoral stimulator, you know, on the outside of it. And it's all right. This is something I treated myself to when I had to evacuate due to fire a couple of years ago. And I was back in the city. And I thought, oh, my God, I'm back in San Francisco. I can go to Good Vibrations. I can buy something that's going to help me feel a lot less stress because I'm sleeping on the floor of an empty apartment and wondering if my house is going to burn down. So this was my help. I'm a California wildfire refugee sex toy. You know, so sometimes there are stories around the things that we get for ourselves, you know. So I think that's all I want to talk about today. You know, you would think a sexologist might have a much more exciting range of things, but, you know, it's kind of what I've got here. Do you have anything else you want to talk about, Chris?
I know we're kind of running short on time, but I do want to do a call out for a couple of things. This is the last toy I want to give a highlight to is called the Solor, S-O-O-L-O-R. It's manufactured by a company called Tracy's Dog, and I'll send you, by the way, all the links to these things, so we can put them in the podcast links.
That would be great.
This is a really interesting toy. It's an anal – sorry?
Oh, that would be great, yeah.
It's an anal sex toy, but it also comes with a little side vibrator that kind of slides between two fingers. So it's interesting that they send two different toys. They're not connected, but I still think it's really cool. And one thing I want to mention that you kind of touched on, which is very important, is that – you know, working with sex and disability is now becoming a major kind of, you know, part of the sex tech industry, where many companies are now doing things like, one, you know, using gender neutral language, and which I think is wonderful. Others are focusing on how the toy can be used with certain disabilities. Some of them, like, for instance, some of the sleep time vibrators use apps that can be controlled by voice or music or something similar. So if you do have mobility problems, you can actually use your voice and or something in the background that can actually adjust the frequency and oscillations and such. So that's wonderful. So it's definitely something that is now becoming kind of, like I said, like, you know, a major part of the industry. It could do more, of course, but, you know, baby steps and all that. So I think that's really exciting. I also like the fact, too, that, like, you know, some of these toys are very imaginative and very well thought out. They're no longer those cheap-ass little things. So it's very exciting. And, you know, some of the prices, like, for instance, the Max 2, which I mentioned, which I just looked up, is $219. You know, it's expensive, but it's not that expensive considering the amount of quality and engineering that goes into these things. So especially these days during social isolation, you know, it's like, treat yourself, have fun, and some of these things can really be entertaining. So I highly recommend just treating yourself like you vibrations. This is a time to, like, find as many kind of fun things to do as possible.
Yeah, absolutely, and I'm so glad you brought up the not only the gender-neutral language, but also especially the fact that toys are now being designed to accommodate people with various disability And it's not just physical disability. It could be somebody who's it's just an aging or maybe a chronic or acute illness situation, but something that makes it much easier for people to use these toys. I sometimes wish that people would design, kind of a rack that would, you know, like a bridge over the body where the toy could attach, where you didn't really have to hold up something in order to use it. And I'm speaking now mm-hmm. from a sort of a person with a vagina standpoint, you know, though obviously this could benefit other people in other ways as well. But, you know, you know, I don't know. You know, sometimes I wonder if people really understand the amount of energy it could take to actually have to keep hold of something that maybe the handle isn't long enough, or maybe it's heavy, as in the case of this high massager, some of these other things. But, you know, so there's almost like an assumption with a lot of toys that they're designed for people with a certain amount of strength or, you know. So anyway, I'm glad that there's a trend in the industry, I guess I'm trying to say here. Yeah. We are running short of time. So any other points you want to bring up real quick?
Well, there's one thing I want to point out, which is Sex for Everybody was a website I highly recommend checking out, because it's written and designed to be inclusive around disabilities and challenges around like sexuality. So I highly recommend that one. But yeah, it's like, you know, that's the good news these days. It's like, you know, there's so many different options. There's so many different ways of play. There's so many different ways of doing things. So it's really quite an exciting time for the sex tech industry. And as you pointed out, it's booming right now with the quarantine situation. So it's definitely worth investigating.
Yeah, that's great. And I think anybody who's really tempted to get out there right now and, you know, have a casual hookup, you know, maybe you want to have your casual hookup, but use teledildonics, you know, so that you can keep yourself safe at this point. I mean, honestly. Anyway, this is another great show, Chris. As always, I love co-hosting this with you. And next week, let's see, what have we got coming up? We're going to do another Sex and Social Distance Part 2. And then also the following week, erotic entertainment, and then we've got some other ideas coming up. But I think it's worth talking some more about how people are navigating their sexual pleasures during this time. So, anyway, everybody, stay safe. Chris, thank you again so much, and that's it for now for Love's Outer Limits. So take good care, everybody. Bye-bye.